the Lord was not going to walk with you that day. How would you like to do that? How would you like to walk through just one day? Or even, I don't even want to walk through a half a day without knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ is present with me and that the Holy Spirit is ministering to me. And yet, many Christians today do. They walk through day in, day out with no attitude whatsoever, no consciousness, or no great consciousness of the fact that God is with them every day. We kind of take God for granted. And this morning, I want to share with you a recorded story, in a historical event in the Bible, where a man kind of just took God for granted. And he was a good man, too. A powerful leader, a courageous leader. And I'm talking about Joshua. Here in Joshua chapter 7, beginning in verse 1, it says, "But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, and the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel." Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, how wonderful it is to know You as our personal Savior. How wonderful it is, Father, to know that as You told Joshua, Father, You also tell us in Your Word today that You'll never leave us nor forsake us, Father, but You'll always be walking with us as we make our commitment to You, as we make our commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, and Father, as we seek to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Lord, You will never leave us nor forsake us. And sometimes, Father, we tend to leave You. Many times, Father, in our Christian walk, we even tend to forsake You. But Father, I just thank You so much that You are always faithful. And where we fail, Lord, You're there to pick us up and dust us off and put us right back on the road as we seek Your face and seek forgiveness of our sins. Lord, this morning I pray that as we minister and as we share in this brief historical event in the life of Joshua, that if there's one here this morning that walks each day thinking that, today's a day that they're going to live any way they want to, and today's a day that they're going to walk any way they want to. Now, Father, help us to realize today that the path that we choose can lead to destruction. The path that we walk, Father, can, if it doesn't lead to eternal destruction, Father, it could certainly lead to a disappointment, heartache, and pain, and suffering. And so, Father, I just pray that if there's one here this morning that is walking in a way that's not pleasing to Thee, that, Lord, the Holy Spirit would move upon their heart, they would be convicted of that that walk and turn and come to You and just repent, Father, and ask forgiveness. Lord, that You'll restore them and You'll give them that joy and that happiness that every Christian ought to be experiencing today as we see the world so quickly falling away from the Lord. Father, bless Your people this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Moses had once brought God's children to the southern border of the land of Canaan. Many of you, you can read about that in Numbers chapter 14. But Moses had brought God's children to the southern border of the land of Canaan, which is, the name of the place was Kadesh Barnea, where God instructed the children of Israel to go in and to take the land, for He had given it to them. And, you know, God gave the promised land to the Israelites. The Israelites needed to go in and possess the land. That's the whole subject of the book of Joshua, is the possession of the land. They didn't have to fight to get the land. God had already given them the land. You know, you and I, God has given to us a perfect gift, and that gift is eternal life. He's given it to us. We don't have to work for it. We don't have to struggle for it. We don't have to do anything for it, but we do have to possess it. We have to possess it. We have to receive that wonderful gift that God has made possible through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. But the children of Israel, you'll remember, became fearful and faithless. Instead of listening to God, they listened to the worried crowd, complaining about the apparent dangers that existed in the land of Canaan. And so the strength and the power of the Canaanites to them was more important than the strength and the power of God. And God had brought them, God had showed them one miracle right after another, and yet still they were fearful. They lived with a lack of faith. And so God turned them around and sent them back out into the wilderness, where He led them in a circle for 40 years until every soul over 20 years of age that did not believe God, that did not trust God, died in the wilderness. And so now Moses has returned to the borders of Canaan, this time on the eastern bank of the Jordan River in the land of Moab. He's relinquished his leadership to Joshua, and God will use Joshua to bring His people into the land of promise. Immediately across the Jordan River was the land of Canaan and the great Canaanite fortress, Jericho. And the question is, how will Joshua take such a powerful and a fixed fortification? And this Joshua pondered as he walked alone along the banks of the Jordan River. And then he met an individual all dressed up in battle armor right there on the banks. Turn with me, if you will, back just a couple of chapters back to Joshua chapter 5, and let me read these verses to you. God has called Joshua to lead the children into the land of Canaan, and Joshua is preparing the children to do that very thing. And yet, he's walking the banks of the Jordan, and he's probably thinking about the event that would come to pass. It says, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? Don't you think that's a pretty bold thing for Joshua to do? Here Joshua is just walking along the banks of the Jordan. He looks over toward Jericho, and here he sees a man standing there on the banks, and instead of being afraid and running off, Joshua walks right up to him. It reminds me of little David. When David went out to fight Goliath, what did he do? He didn't stand back. He didn't wait for Goliath to come to him. Little David, in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the power of God, he the Bible says he ran after Goliath. He ran toward Goliath. And here Joshua walks right up to this warrior, this magnificent figure. And what courage. Joshua is face to face with this stranger dressed in full battle armor. His sword even is drawn, and Joshua walks right up to him and asks the question, are you for us or are you for our adversaries? In verse 14, the Bible says, and he said, nay, but as the captain of the host of the Lord I am now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? Now listen to what this warrior says to Joshua, and you've heard this before. Verse 15, and the captain of the Lord's host, standing there in perfect view, said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Who was that figure? It could have been none other than God himself, none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, if you will, a personal appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament days, the power of God standing there before Joshua. And I believe Joshua was standing in the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Joshua's question, here's Joshua's question, if you will, paraphrased, will you fight with us or will you fight with them? And the answer of which is neither. The battle is mine, says the Lord. The battle is mine. The children of Israel came across the Jordan River not under their own power, but it was under God's power that he'll bring them across the Jordan. The children of Israel were not going to have to fight any battle. They were merely going to have to trust God. And this is exactly what the mystery captain was telling Joshua. Trust the Lord. The battle is his. How many of us in our daily walk are trusting the Lord for each and every day? You know, we see the gas prices soaring. We see war in Afghanistan and in Iraq. We see one natural disaster seemingly right after another. And we hear all of this moaning and groaning about the world falling apart and the world's dying and the world's going to burn up and all that other stuff. And I'm going to tell you something. If you listen to all that stuff, it's enough to make you blow your mind up, you know. But I can tell you this. Jesus says there's peace. I can give you peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. I'll tell you this. All these signs, all these miserable things that are happening in this world is merely a sign of his coming. Of his coming. Of his imminent coming. He could come today. He could come tomorrow. The thing is, you and I, we don't need to get wrapped up in the worries of the world. What we need to do is get our face set upon the Lord Jesus Christ and be busy about his work, reaching other folks who are lost and undone. Many other folks are probably thinking about suicide and getting caught up in all the humdrum and the misery and the pain and all of that of this world system. But I tell you what, they can enjoy the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ just as I hope you are. And so Joshua issued God's orders to the people. And he told him this, they were going to go against Jericho. In Joshua chapter 6, if you will, if you'll turn to Joshua chapter 6, verse 7, beginning in verse 17, you'll notice that Joshua speaks the word of the Lord. Verse 17, "And the city," he says, "shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein. To the Lord only Rahab and the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest you make yourselves accursed, and when you take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse and a trouble, and trouble it. But all the silver and all the gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come unto the treasury of the Lord." Now just listen to that. Look at verse 18 again. "And ye in any wise..." Now when God gives you the victory over Jericho, when God brings those walls down and you go into the city and you recover the items that that God says that I tell you to recover, don't you take any of the accursed things. Don't you steal or take or whatever any of the bounty. That belongs to God. That belongs to God. And he says, verse 18 again, "And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest you make yourselves accursed when you take of the accursed thing, and listen, and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it." So one man's sin can end up troubling can trouble a group, you know. One man's sin, you know, people think that they live in a vacuum, you know, no matter what I do, it's not going to affect other people. But let me tell you something, if you're an alcoholic, it affects your family, it affects your mother, your father, your children. If you're a drug addict, it affects everybody in your particular sin that you're involved in affects other people. It affects other people. God says, leave the material items alone. You bring out what I tell you to bring out for my glory, and you leave the rest of it. God is going to give the Israelites a great victory. The Canaanites are already shaking in their boots. And God tells his people, when the city walls fall, you don't take anything from the accursed city, but bring the silver, gold, and vessels of brass and iron out and consecrate them to the Lord. Now, you know what the Lord's going to do with all that? Well, that belongs to him anyway. You know, it belongs to him anyway. What he's going to do is he's going to take these material items and use them in the building of his temple. He is. Verse 20 says, "So the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city." God said, this is exactly what I want you to do. I want you to circle the camp once a day for 7 days. Then on the seventh day, I want you to circle it seven times. Then I want you to blow the trumpets. And when you do that, the walls of the city are going to come down. And that's exactly what Joshua told the children. This is exactly what we're going to do. This is exactly what God says, and we're going to follow it to the letter. And they did. And when they did, what happened? The walls came tumbling down. The walls came tumbling down. So the Lord gives a great victory to Israel. But there's one problem. There's one problem. Joshua chapter 7. Beginning in verse 1. "But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against" who? Isn't that hard to believe? Well, why isn't the anger just kindled against Achan? He's the one that committed the sin. Well, it's because sin touches all of us. Sin touches all of us. And let me tell you something, my friends. You know, the Bible says that there are ten commandments. And the Bible actually says that if you keep nine of them, but you violate one of them, you are a sinner and you're in need of a Savior. You're a sinner and you're in need of a Savior. "The children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. Now, why in the world would all the people suffer because of one man's sin? Did you know that the public estimation of the character of Powhatan Free Will Baptist Church rests upon the action or inactions of every individual member?" Think about that. As a member of Powhatan Free Will Baptist Church, you can worship and praise the Lord inside this sanctuary, but you go outside and the way you live your life out in the world doesn't just bring credit or discredit upon you. It brings credit or discredit upon the house of God. 1 Corinthians 12:26, the Bible says, "And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it." In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14 and 15, the Bible says, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fall of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." Achan's sin brought a quick halt to any future military victories for Israel. And the Lord was going to tell Joshua about it at the very next meeting. You know, here's the great victory. Joshua's done what God asked. The children of Israel have done, for the most part, what God asked, with the exception of Achan. And so now there's sin in the camp. And so, Joshua, you need to come to me and you need to speak to me about your next exploits, because I've got a problem with Israel. But does Joshua do that? Look at the next verses. "And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai." Did Joshua ask God about this? Has he asked God about Ai? No, he hasn't. He hasn't. He's just assumed that God's going to be with him today. He's just assumed that as God has given him the victory over this big city of Jericho, certainly he's going to give him victory over this little bitty city of Ai. So he sends out spies. He sends out people to survey, his soldiers to survey the little city of Ai. And verse 3 says, "And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai. And make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few." Here's self-confidence. Here's self-confidence. Joshua feels he's already got a great victory at Jericho, so why in the world would he not have a great victory at Ai? In fact, he doesn't even have to take as many folks to fight against Ai. That's about like taking the 82nd Airborne to conquer the militia of Pine Level. How many of you know where Pine Level is? Pine Level is just a little, Wilson Mills. Wilson Mills, where I live. Wilson Mills has just barely got they don't even have a stoplight. Proverbs 16:18 says, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." Now, listen, I don't think for a minute that Joshua was all beaten on his chest and taking the honor and the glory of the victory of Jericho for himself. I think what Joshua is doing is Joshua is pressing on with the work, but he's forgetting that there's somebody he needs to consult before he presses on with the work. You and I get up in the morning, we go out the door, and we never think one time about the fact that God wants to go with us today. God wants to go with us today. How do you know if you might be in an automobile accident or something like that, and you get killed or hurt somebody else or something like that? Wouldn't you want God to be with you as you're going out that door? Wouldn't you want God to have the angels go right accompany you along with the angels and all of that as you go through each and every day? Boy, I would. I want to know that the Lord's with me every day. I would hope that the Lord would. I would hope that I would be confident enough in the Lord that I would trust Him for every hour. Trust Him in every hour. Joshua has not consulted with God about the next military campaign. He has merely stepped out on his own, assuming that God would be with him. But God knows something that Joshua doesn't know. God knows something that Joshua doesn't know. So today will not be a victory for Israel, but an embarrassing defeat. And so there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shibarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. So Israel's walking in the flesh. God had put them on the right path. Now they thought that they could find the path on their own. There's no consulting with God before this battle. Jericho was a city of great sin, a major victory for God's people. And they came against this major city of sin in the name and the power of the Lord Jesus. But when it came to Ai, they just assumed that they could do everything on their own. Taking Ai, Ai was a city of little sin. God's help would not be necessary. We can conquer this small sin by ourselves. Yet it's the minor sins in life that bring us major problems. Do you know that? It is the minor sins in our life that really create some major problems for us and for our families. Our daily lives are always before the Lord. We need to begin every day with Him. No day is less significant than any other. Every day we need God's hand of guidance, His hand of direction and protection over our lives. Well, I was supposed to be a cakewalk, and now 36 Israelite soldiers are dead, and Israel is back in camp licking her wounds. Can you imagine the reporters selling their newspapers the next morning throughout the land of Canaan? The headlines could read, "God of Israelites, the God of Israel of the Israelites fails. Israel runs for their lives. God of Israel, no match for fierce God of Ai." But doesn't that bring dishonor and discredit to the name of God? Our walk every day, we ought to walk in such a way as to bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Joshua, oh, how embarrassing and distressing this failure is to him. He has no idea why God has failed him here. Verse 6 says, "And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the evening tide. He and the elders of Israel and put dust upon their heads." Let me tell you that God let him sit there resting on his face for a little while. God left him resting on his face for a little while. One of the problems with Christians today is we don't take any time out for God. We're not on our face at all, ever. Probably the only time we ever think about getting on our face before God sometimes for Christians is when we're in church and we hear a preacher talking about it. We just swing through our week and don't even think one time, one moment, spend few minutes or any few minutes with the Lord. And yet God here is letting Joshua spend some time down on his face. And then after a while, look at verse 7. Joshua said, "Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us?" Now why is he saying that? For his own glory? No, look at the rest of the verse. "Would to God we had been content and dwelt in the other side of Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turns their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ us or circle us and cut off our name from the earth. And what will that do unto thy great name?" You know, Joshua was interested in the name of God. How will the world look at you, God, if you cut us off? The people's hearts melted, the Bible says, and became as water. It's a fearful thing to be alone. Israel followed God faithfully into Canaan, and now they're trying to survive in Canaan following the flesh. It just didn't make sense. Here, Joshua was taking the counsel of his soldiers, his commanders, as opposed to listening, taking his issue to God. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Verse 10 of chapter 7 says, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff." Joshua has no idea what God is talking about, so God continues to enlighten him a little bit. Verse 12, "Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except you destroy the accursed thing from among you." So God is not going to bless you while you're in known sin. God's not going to hear your prayer, my friend, while you're walking out there in the little sins, while you're still wallowing around in little sins, known sins. Now, don't get me wrong. We are sinful people. We are sinful people. We're living in a sin nature all around us. That's, you know, God died to bring us out of this sinful world. But there is willful sin and there's natural sin. And these people, this God is not going to hear you. God's not going to bless you while you are walking in willful sin, while you're in willful rebellion against Him. as a child of God. Now, you'll see many people walking in the same sins you're dabbling in, and oh, they're being blessed left and right. Somehow it just seems like all the heavens are poured out and blessing them in a mighty and powerful way. But I'll tell you what, they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're living the only the heaven they're ever going to see. But you as a Christian, God's not going to let you get away with that. God's going to bring chastisement upon you. God's going to bring conviction upon you. God is not going to bless you while you're in known sin. And if you don't know the peace of God, it's not God's fault. Isaiah 26:3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee." When we trust in the Lord, our soul enjoys a supernatural peace, a peace that passes all understanding, the Bible says. And when we are out of the will of God, our soul is never at rest. The rebellion in the camp had to be dealt with. The rebellion in the camp had to be dealt with. Verse 13, God says, "Up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee. O Israel, thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you." So Joshua rose up early the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zerahites, and he brought the family of the Zerahites man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And he brought his household man by man, and Achan the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah was taken. Achan's heart must have been pounding. You know, it would have been wonderful if Achan had come right out of the group and said, "Listen, I'm the one guilty. I'm the one guilty." But you know what? I bet you Achan thought, "Well, I'm not the only one guilty. There's probably a lot of people in the Israelite family that's guilty." It's a wonderful thing to get things out in the open, especially with God. You know, God says if you'll confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I wonder if Achan actually thought that he could get away with this sin. But now he's standing before the judge with unconfessed sin in his life. Don't wait until you're standing before the judge of all the earth to plead your case. Because I can tell you this, my friend, if you leave this world without receiving Christ and the forgiveness of sin in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will stand before him one of these days at a white throne judgment. And he'll say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Verse 19 says, "And Joshua said unto Achan, My son, give, I pray thee, the glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. And when I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them, and I took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it." Here's what Achan says. He says, "I saw it, I coveted it, and I took it." In James chapter 1, James says this, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempts he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away from his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death." Achan said, "I saw it, I coveted it, and I took it." Verse 22 says, "So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran unto the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones, and burned them with fire, after they had stoned them with stones." No single executioner here. All of God's people must hate sin. In 1 Corinthians 5, Paul, speaking of sin among the Corinthians, says, "Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leavens the whole lump?" You know, in this congregation today, if we had among us people who we knew were in deep willful sin, and this pastor did not take the time to get alone with those individuals and talk to them about their sin. Before you know it, people would say, well, this church accepts anything, any way, any shape, any form. And there'd be no standard whatsoever for this congregation. There'd be no standard because the pastor wouldn't set any standard. But I believe that God has a standard. And I believe God's standard is righteousness. And I believe that righteousness is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if a person knows the Lord Jesus Christ, then their walk, their talk, and their actions are going to be in line and in accord with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if it's not, and if this pastor just permits that rebellion to go on in the congregation or in the fellowship without addressing it, without doing something about it, then that attitude is going to flow over to others in the congregation. And before you know it, this church is going to have a name, but it's not going to have a spirit. This church may have a name, but it won't have a spirit. God talks about that in Revelation. God is going to deal with sin. God dealt with sin on Calvary. You don't think he's going to deal? Look at Calvary's cross. Look at Calvary. First Corinthians chapter 5, verses 3 through 5, Paul says, "For verily, as absent in the body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present concerning him that hath done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ." And finally, verse 26 says, "And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger, wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day." God had ceased to bless Israel with victory, not just because of one man's sin, but likewise because of the failure of Joshua to seek God's guidance and God's direction. We need to seek God's guidance and direction for our everyday lives, every day, every day. We need to walk with the Lord every day. In fact, that's what the sign says out there, you know, exercise daily, walk with the Lord, walk daily with the Lord. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10, John says this, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, or walk in willful sin, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, in the truth, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin. Now if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." So what might you be dabbling in these days? If the Lord was to come by and visit at your home and just went through and was just walking through your home, what would he find there that might be a God to you and maybe something that stands in the way of God blessing your home and you enjoying the peace of God? Is there something there? There, you know, whatever it is, if it's hidden, whatever's hidden under the rug, God knows about it. God knows about it. And what you need to do is you need to come forward and just to confess that before him and ask him to forgive you of that sin, and he'll cleanse you. And if you want to really receive the blessing from the Lord, get right with the Lord Jesus Christ. Get it right with the Lord Jesus, and he'll begin to pour out his blessing again. Amen. Joshua should have gone to the Lord, but he just assumed that everything was all right. Boy, I want to take my burdens to the Lord every day, and I want to know that he knows that I'm willing to confess my sins before him, that as I walk each day, he's going to walk with me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning we thank you for the recorded event in the life of Achan, in the life of Joshua. Father, we just pray this morning if there's one here that doesn't know you as a personal Savior, never made that personal commitment to you, that today would be the day that they would come forward, Father, and to ask forgiveness of their sins, Father, and open up their heart and receive the blessing from on high. Father, to receive you as their Lord and Savior. It's one thing, Father, to say that Jesus is my Savior. It's quite another to say He's my Lord. If He's my Lord, then He's my Lord 7 days a week and not just on Sunday. Father, I ask You to bless, comfort, and give peace to that one that's walking with Thee, Father. That one who may have family members who are wrapped up in burdens and carrying such burdens, Father, and they'll refuse to bring them to the altar. And Father, many a mother and many a father see their children out living lives that would bring that just bring heartache and pain and sadness to them, Father. I pray that some kind of a convicting power, the conviction, Father, the burden, Father, upon these children's hearts might be laid by the Holy Spirit, that they might realize that as they dabble in their sin, they are also hurting moms and dads and family members. Father, we just pray for each one that's here this morning. We ask You, Father, in a special way to bless. You get praise, get honor, and glory, for we ask these things in Christ's name and for His sake. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.